Hello, and welcome to another God of Good Community podcast. My name is Priscilla Dyer, and I'm here with my co-host, Javita Noth.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me today.
6 months since the earthquakes that have devastated Nepal in April and May of this year, and more than 8,700 people have died, and hundreds and thousands of buildings have been damaged and destroyed. To bring the community in Nepal back in focus, we're honored to have Nihal Mayor as our guest today.
And thank you so much for being with us today, Nihal. Nihal is the youth president of the Global Futures Network, and he is also the United Nations youth representative at the United Nations headquarters in New York City, as well as the UNSCAP in Thailand youth representative. So Nihal, if you could please tell us a little bit about yourself, and welcome to our show.
Hello. Thank you for this warm welcome to me and my colleague present here, Ashwarya Narasimha Deva. We both represent an organization called Global Futures Network. We are 501(c)(3) organization. We were established in New York City in 1983. And from past three decades, we are working to empower United Nations and United Nations activity across the globe. We had our project and presence in 35 countries, and with the sole focus of empowering United Nations. We have been working on several of projects and highlighting especially on the youth issues across the world. And currently we are working in 12 countries on a different youth projects associated with different organizations, youth-led organizations, and women organizations, empowering women organizations, and refugees are working for refugees problem, and all the MDGs, and recently the SDG formation. So we are learning more about SDG, and so how we can go and work in our country and transform these sustainable development goal and reach the global agenda of global goals, that is by 2030 and poverty. So this is our priority of working with United Nations and engaging other civil societies as a partner to work for the project.
Now, that's a mouthful. That's a lot of work.
Yes, it
can
is.
Can you tell our listeners, what are MDGs?
MDG is Millennium Development Goal. Now it's dormant because it was a 15 years goal objective for United Nations, which was formed in year 2000, and there were seven MDG Millennium Development Goal, which United Nations worked for 15 years to achieve. But unfortunately, we could not achieve, but we reached halfway, and like more than 200 million people got clean water to drink, and HIV rates is reduced for 48%. This is all achievement we got. But the MDG was formed only by the global leaders. Now we have transformed into new development goal called Sustainable Development Goal, which is heard by every single person. We had 7 million vote from the world, from offline, online, Africa, Asia, Latin America, from all parts of the world. We gathered people's voice and got into United Nations. And on 27th of last month, September, all 193 countries' leaders accepted, yes, we're going to work on this goal for the next 15 years. Wow. So it is our agenda to end poverty. That's goal number one.
Wow.
And I would like to highlight goal number 17, that is working with all the partnership, public and public partnership, and everyone involvement to achieve this goal. So it's you, me, and everyone, every single person in this planet will work together to achieve the sustainable development goal.
That sounds exciting, and it sounds like the community is actually engaged, which I think is what, which is probably where things are kicking off now and becoming very successful, that the community
people becoming
has a
more conscious waking up.
Yes. So now, Nepal specifically, I know you have some work and some connections happening there, and some of it is actually youth-led, which is really exciting. So can you tell us about the state of things in Nepal now?
Absolutely. I would like to share my personal story, what happened to Nepal. I was on my project working with a refugee in Hong Kong, and I got a leave for 5 days, and I went back to my home city in Mumbai, India. I was relaxing early in the morning when I got a call from my colleague from France, and said that, have you saw the television? I said, no, what's wrong? And he said, we had a massive earthquake in Nepal, and I was sorry. When I turned on the television, I can see the things are destroying. I said, oh, that's a sad news. And my colleague told me, dude, you need to pack your bag and you need to leave for Nepal. I said, excuse me, I'm just for 5 days holidays. Please don't take this holidays from me. And he said, you can take 1 month holiday after you receive, go to Nepal and get us the real updates, because the news channel were not showing the real updates about what is happening in reality. And there was a dispute between United Nations, local government, and people. So I didn't have a choice, and I went. It was forcefully I was sent there, you can say that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And the day which I reached, after 2 days of the earthquake, it was a beautiful morning there when I reached there. And the first thing I thought, let me get a SIM card for myself to get connected to the world, because I had my international SIM card. I went to a shop buying a SIM card. I could feel I'm slipping. I said, what's wrong with my sandal? I'm checking my sandal. What's wrong? Why it's slippery? And when I turned around, everyone was running on the road. And someone told me, it's now earthquake. And I said, it's a tremor or earthquake. I was confused myself when I walked, and I ran in a open space area. And later on we came to know that was 9.3, the epicenter quake. So I saw that from my eyes, and it was horrible. I cannot explain it what was that, but that was the first time when I felt that, you know, you are not far away from your death, and how people run for your life, killing everyone. Just run. No, they don't see left, they don't see right, and save their life. It was a worst experience, but I've learned a lot from that experience too.
This was the second earthquake in May, right? There was one in April. This was the second one that occurred in May?
No, just after the first earthquake. The first earthquake was 7.6.
Yes.
And the second one was 7.9. Mm-hmm. That was the main epicenter where everything was destroyed.
In Kathmandu.
It cut all the parts of Nepal. Mm-hmm. The epicenter was 160 kilometers away from Kathmandu, but it destroyed half of the structures and old monuments. And all the tourist
temples,
destinations were destroyed.
Wow. So, talk about what it is that you're doing there, and the the young
just
people
after,
you're connected
just
to.
Just after I reached there, I was and I saw the situation over there. First thing I thought that I should connect to the real people who really wants to help, because we were getting a continuous message about what is happening in Nepal. And I am so happy about the global, every country had helped Nepal to redevelop them. Mm-hmm. I saw from Japan to China, India to Turkey, and in fact I saw a military from Brazil, and I was so happy that South American countries have come here to help. And I really appreciate every country, every individual effort given to redevelop Nepal. And so we decided that even we should take some project. When I was there in Nepal, I worked on I worked with multiple projects. When I was initially went there, I had done I worked with Save the Children. We were working for the children, rescue them, and after rescue, rehabilitation and food, providing food service with World Food Program. Then later on, I had moved to redevelopment part. We were trying to get a temporary shelter for them. It was cold and it was raining, and temperature was cruel that time. Sometimes it was damn hot, and next moment it starts raining. So people do not understand that how to tackle the situation. So we were gathering a tarpaulin so that at least they can save themselves from water, from rain, the natural disaster. So I worked there for almost a month, and my experience was a very good learning experience, that how I can tackle a natural disaster and without getting panicked, how can I help others? That is what I learned from Nepal. And currently, we are working to redevelop the schools, which is completely destroyed. Mm-hmm. Completely destroyed means it has just become a history. There was a school before, and it's just a land now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we need to redevelop that and redevelop with eco-friendly manner, and in such a way that if tomorrow another disaster hits Nepal, the school should not be destroyed. So that is our sole objective, and we are working on this.
Can you tell us a little bit more about how the youth are becoming more empowered now and really working to redevelop in terms of their education system and really, you know, finding that empowerment in themselves?
Oh, that's a really good question you highlighted, and I would like to appreciate every youth of Nepal or every youth from all the part of the world helping Nepal to be developed. There are so many agencies working on developing Nepal, but unfortunately, the political part is what I don't want to comment, but insufficient support from the political is a hindrance to develop in Nepal. But youth-led organizations are doing excellent job on their personal level, and that is our future plan or a current plan. We are working with the youth-led organization in Nepal. We are empowering them by supporting them finance so that they can develop the school themselves, and they take the initiative to run it. It is not just the development, but post-development, they should work. They should the school should run, and they get a quality education.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Southeast Asian countries, it's India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, they have a traditional education system which is designed as per their convenient. If they want the regional subject should be the main subject, they dominate. Though they are a democratic country, they dominate. Okay, this subject will be a main subject because that's a national language or a national dialect or a national tongue. Though it is not accepted anywhere in the world, they are okay with it. Just to be them as they are great, so they keep there. And that is a barrier for these children to come up. They can't speak in global language. They can't talk in English because they never been taught in school. So now we are focusing that whichever school we gonna develop, we see to it that one international volunteer work in the school, teach them about English, know them about the gadget technology, and where the Western countries are, at least they should know that what is happening in Western.
Mm-hmm.
Because for them, it's 2G, and that is also 800 Nepali currency. When I heard that time, I was, what? I have to pay 800 Nepali currency for 2G network and for 500 MB data.
Mm.
So just imagine, I pay $20 in USA and I use unlimited data.
Mm. I have a question for you. You're saying that, you know, education is limited in Nepal. Now my question is, if the plan is to build a school there and to implement all these things that you're talking about, are there any limitations that the government would place on the activity that would happen in the school? Because I know there are some restrictions as to what can happen and who can be in partnership and who is authorized to do things in Nepal. So are there going to be any roadblocks to you implementing, you know, teaching English and all those other things that may not be in place right now?
Political hindrance, I cannot comment. Maybe yes, maybe no, but just because of thinking that if there is a political hindrance, we won't stop working, because we have a faith and we are doing a right thing and a right job with one objective, to help them. We don't have any negativity in our brain, in our mind, in our work. We are 10% positive. We're going to do it, and we're going to get change in Nepal, and we're going to see to it that Nepali children talking in English in America.
What a beautiful
for a culture exchange
yes.
program.
What a beautiful sentiment.
Yes. And sometimes disaster can be the catalyst for some amazing change. So.
And an opportunity to really empower themselves.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's wonderful. What is the name of the group?
The Grassroots Project.
Yeah, the Grassroots Project that you're partnering with right now. What is the name of the group?
The local Nepali group we're working is Change Bhaktapur. Bhaktapur is a city close to Kathmandu. It's just 30 kilometers away, and they have a local youth volunteer group, and these kids and youth, they are doing excellent during the earthquake, after the earthquake, and every moment they are planning and they are developing the strategy to channelize the youth energy in a right direction. They do not have funds, they lack of support. The government does not support. There are no international NGOs, political hindrance. After all these, they are doing good jobs. So just imagine if we help them and if we empower them, they're going to boom. They're gonna reach to the goal where they are dream of, and they work on the dream.
Undoubtedly, yes.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So so what can the average individual do to support the project?
It's a very good question. Every individual, what we expect from every individual is, if someone is interested to fund us to develop a school in Nepal, as we said earlier, we are a 50C3 organization. We're going to give a tax benefit, 10% tax benefit on the deduction, on the donation, what they're going to give us, so they can save tax. That is one benefit for the donor. And the another benefit is he or she can sponsor a child. Like if you if you're developing a school, they are contributing for them to go to school and changing someone's life. And the other thing is we're going to monitor every single work we are doing. And if for our donor, we're going to update them on a regular basis that if they spend the donation, what they have given, where it has been used, if it is used to buy a water, if it is used to buy a soil, if it is used to develop a wall, it is used in developing material or a logistics, we'll be updating them and with the pictures and with all the updates and with the archive too.
Yeah, telling their stories.
Yes. Yeah. They're telling the stories, and yeah, it will be a transparent development. And it is not just the fund we are looking on. We are looking for the contribution of effort. They can, yeah, join us in our team. They can collaborate with us. Mm-hmm. We're not looking out for someone, individual or a group, or male, female, big, small, elder. Everyone are most welcome to join hands to develop Nepal, because Nepal is a part of our planet, and I don't see any barrier, or I don't see just because we divide name, if they are, or they are our ancestors and they are for our family. That is how I look at.
So what do you envision for Nepal moving forward? I know building schools is a part of that, but you know, mm-hmm, you spoke about the youth. What is your hope for Nepal moving forward?
And your vision for the,
yeah,
empowerment of the youth of,
yes,
Nepal.
Yes.
Because these grassroots projects are really picking up and they're really, you know,
yeah,
making a difference. Yeah.
Thank you for highlighting such an important issue. Yes, what we are looking ahead is empowering Nepal, not in terms of just education, but getting them opportunity to see what the other people in the world are doing. Let them come out and see that they can be individually work, and just a little support can change their life. Maybe if we do advocacy training, like if we empower 1,000 youth from Nepal, these 1,000 youth will develop 10,000 Nepalis, and these 10,000 Nepali will turn into 1 million. And one day, Nepal will stand with other countries and say that we don't need help. That time, that is our achievement. That, okay, we are, that is a real achievement. That we like a plant or a tree. We, mm-hmm, initially we put water and we just grow it. Once it is grown, if you don't see to that plant, but the plant will give you fruit throughout the life, no matter
what
how.
What a beautiful analogy.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I love, mm-hmm, that analogy.
Mm-hmm. We all, it's everything you get in nature. Just look, mm-hmm, around.
Yes. 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 Love that attitude.
Really
love
appreciate
it.
That.
Thank,
yes,
you.
Yes. Yes. So, Nepal is you know, one of the projects that's close to your heart. But what else is happening with your organization?
All right. I would like to share other project which I am working in India, and the other campaign which we are about to launch very soon. I will talk about the project which I am doing in India, and the second project my colleague will talk on the upcoming project which we are planning. Our current project in India we are doing is developing incubation center. Mm. In India, as like Nepal, we have a very similar traditional. If you are in a Maharashtra region, Marathi is a major subject. If you are in Tamil Nadu, Tamil is your major subject. And if you are in any South Kerala, Malayalam is a major language. So the children are intelligent, but they get the education in a traditional language. And if they know they are the best seller, they are a best teacher, they are best doctor, but if they can't communicate, everything goes away. We are trying to develop an incubation center where it will be like a library. In fact, we started one project and we had taken a land to develop a library. It is just not a library. It will be a technological center where children can come, and we will provide 24 hours electricity by using solar energy so that they can study here. And because there are no electricity in the tribal area, children do not, they are not able to study. So this is, this will be a place where they can study, and we'll have computers and laptops and the latest gadgets for them, for them to understand that what is the latest technology can be used for education purpose. And that will develop interest in them. And apart from that, we're going to start English learning classes for them that will be absolutely free for them to come and learn. So that is how we are changing a education system and helping government to develop such thing. But again, a political hindrance, we may face some problem. But till now, it's going well. And we have a support from other organizations, and we have a support from international organizations who are ready to send their volunteer from Western countries, from European countries, so they can come and they can stay there and they can teach these children about the different culture and what is happening in Europe, what is happening in America, and what is happening in other part of the world. So that will develop children's mind, and they will think beyond India there is world, beyond their house there is world, beyond the village there is world. So the to change the vision to empower youth, that is what we feel. Empower, educate is a right word, I say. And I would like my colleague Ashwarya to discuss about our upcoming project. She is a project head with our organization's Global Futures Network, and she is based in New York. So she is a representative in UN too, and she is a focal point of contact in New York for our organization.
Okay, well, thank you. Welcome, Ashwarya.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Rish. Thank you very much, Nehal, for the work. And thank you very much for inviting us to speak. So my name is Aisha Narasimha Deora, and I also been involved recently with the organization. And one project that we are collaborating on is a project known as The Taste of Waste. Now, this project pertains to the eradication of poverty and also for no one to be hungry. So what we are trying to do first is to raise awareness about how people around the world unfortunately don't have enough food. And although there is enough food in the world for everybody to eat, the distribution of food is not equal. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. as a result of this, you have this inequality, and it's something we definitely must address. And as Nehal mentioned also, the Sustainable Development Goals they've recently been adopted by all 193 heads of state. Mm-hmm. So one of the goals is ending poverty, so we're focusing on this goal with regard to this project. So Nehal has some colleagues in India who have actually started like an essay competition and different, you could say, awareness, like celebratory movements with regard to the International Day for the Eradication of Poverty, which is on the 17th of October, this Saturday, and the 16th of October, which is today, is the Observe Day. There have been some events at the UN with regard to this day. So this is just the beginning. We're trying to like get momentum for this project.
Absolutely.
So Nehal was actually able to, in Nepal, with also some of our colleagues in Nepal, yes, mm-hmm. who have been also working with regard to the school's reconstruction, and from the state, Nehal is from in India, mm-hmm. Educating kids about poverty eradication, and had like an essay competition and a drawing competition, something to generate interest. Now, we are also just planning this ourselves, and I must say it's a lot of fun planning things. it is a lot of fun, and it is project management, something I enjoy very much as well. So I'm very much looking forward to this. We're also, we really want to really get people to know about how important it is to not waste food. Mm-hmm. And In the Western nations, a lot of people, when you go to a restaurant or something, you take home the leftovers, right? Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, this concept is not there in many places in the world. I remember actually my grandfather, when he first came, when he visited the States in the 1970s, he noticed that people were taking back food. And he thought, oh, that's a wonderful idea. It should be implemented. Mm-hmm. So Nehal was mentioning about this, and I also agree with him. It's a pity that not everybody, you know, not everybody brings on their leftovers. Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, from when we were, like, our parents, they've been teaching us from a young age, you know, don't waste food.
That's
and
right.
So definitely this is one way, like, it's just terrible throwing out food, and it's the principle behind it. So we want to try to actually work with different restaurants and hotels. I know for them to, if they can, you know, donate their food and distribute it, like, to people who unfortunately don't have access to food. And I know there are many NGOs around the world doing this. So we want to actually start it in India, specifically in the Indian state of Maharashtra.
Mm-hmm.
So that, again, is where Nehal hails from.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, so yes, we want to start with that. And I think if we can really get people, if we can really get people to see, all right, you can take back your food, you know, nothing, like, it's a good thing, you know, and save it, that'll really, that'll help, again, in the, I guess, the in sustainable consumption practices.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like the name to the Taste of Waste, because it really helps to highlight how precious even, you know, one grain of rice is. And I don't know if, perhaps you may know, there's this one game on the internet known as Free Rice. So it was actually trivia questions. The World Food Program, they were one of the partners who involved in this project. So for every, it was trivia questions, very interesting things you could learn and test your knowledge. So when, if you get 10 questions, if you get, I believe one question, right, 10 grains of rice go.
Mm-hmm.
They go towards the World Food Program, and then they work with their partners, their way to distribute. And I really like that, because there are two things. You're helping to feed people, and you're learning something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I thought this was a very interesting initiative.
Mm-hmm. Question. I know here we have, you know, we have our food distribution here. We have soup kitchens. You know, this is how we sort of handled hunger here in the city, in New York City. How would that differ from how things are managed in Nepal or in India? Are there places that people go to be fed? Are people actually going into the poor areas and distributing food? Mm-hmm. How does that work? There's actually an organization here that partners with restaurants, with local restaurants, and they engage volunteers to go to these restaurants and collect food and bring them to homeless shelters and to soup kitchens. So how would that play out in Nepal and in India?
I would like to address this question. Generally, we are planning to collaborate with the hotels, restaurant, and with the help of our volunteers. That is the second part of the engagement. But what is our motive is educating everyone, because it's a taboo in India not to take a food. If you say that you want to take the waste food, they say that, oh, it's not right. They feel
it's like garbage,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's a garbage.
Yeah.
And our campaign name, Taste of Waste, itself says that it may be a waste for you, but it is a taste for someone. And we request everyone, educate, that please give this food to someone. If you don't want to eat, give it to a beggar. Not to beggar, give it to a dog or any life which is present on a planet. It should not go wasted. So this is what we want to educate them. And we are talking to the ambassadors, like a celebrity from Bollywood, to speak on this project, so that it is very influential in India. Like, if this celebrity said, means it makes a difference. And so we are working on that, so that we are asking celebrity to speak on that. And we are sure that this taboo should go from our country and neighboring countries. Like, we are launching the same campaign in Nepal. We are launching this campaign in Bangladesh, Thailand, and Myanmar as of now. So we are capturing all the neighboring countries, because the similar situation everywhere. The food which is done after eating, they think that it's a waste.
Mm-hmm. I just have a question, Nehal. You've mentioned that you want to start this project, this you know, this very small project in person India. How would people who are, you know, supporters of this idea, Taste of Ways, who are outside of India, how can they support you guys? If in terms of like social media and on all of those things, how can we tap in to really connect as a collective to really help?
Sure. Well, one thing, we definitely want to create a hashtag, Taste of Ways. So that'll be one way of sharing information. So this, of course, can be shared on various social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Instagram,
on Instagram, many people put pictures of food, right? So this would be definitely. And that's one way. And also so that would be with regard to social media. We also definitely want to contact different NGOs and organizations doing this. Oxfam, that is one organization dedicated to poverty eradication, and also local NGOs. Like, there are even in India too. Like, we're right now first, of course, targeting the state of Maharashtra. So there are, of course, some people who have done work. So thing is, you should all collaborate together. Then, you know, as Margaret Mead says, it takes a band of dedicated people to change the world. So everybody should definitely unite forces together. And I think through, as Nehal mentioned, the educating people about not wasting food, and instilling that sense of social responsibility, that we could also do through like workshops and interactive forums that will really give people a way to know about how important it is to not waste food.
Yeah.
I remember actually I was in one program in high school in Washington, D.C., and Oxfam came for one session. And this particular program I went to was focusing on international diplomacy, and they had issues related that are of concern to the world, to the international community. So Oxfam, they did this one very interesting session, like how people most of the world lives, actually. Just to kind of brief up, some of us, we were actually sitting on the floor with a big bowl of rice and just tissues, so we could put the grains of just the rice grains on it. Then there were, and that represented people from the low income, I guess, class of society.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I would say, maybe about 70% of the people in the program. Then you had the middle class, and they were kind of sitting at a table with a little bit more, like, you have all the table and proper cutlery and a little bit more food. Then you had a few select people who were representing the high, like the rich. Exactly. And you know what? They had like everything, like a very beautiful tablecloth and so much food. Exactly. And you know what? You know what actually they were doing? They actually took the plates from the people in representing the rich class, even for throwing out the food and showing how much is wasted, and it really gave it an idea of
visualization.
Exactly. So I really think by really brainstorming and seeing different ways to get the same message across, it'll really help in achieving this goal.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that idea, and I think definitely working with different NGOs and and other people have done a lot of work with this will really help in this scenario.
And so also getting the celebrities on board.
Exactly.
Really be a big endorsement.
Right, brand ambassadors and things like that, definitely. So definitely you want people to value food and you know what Nehal was saying too, social responsibility, as in the Western nations, there is more of that sense. And as you were saying yourself, there are a lot of soup kitchens here and things like that. And unfortunately, it's not necessarily there everywhere in the world. And such initiatives like this will help people. And when Neil was mentioning about the SCG trainings, say 100 people will be, will learn about it, and it'll spread to a few other people. So it's kind of like a domino effect. That's what you're trying to get with this. So that's what we really hope to
The butterfly effect.
Exactly. Exactly.
The butterfly effect.
So ultimately, you're removing the stigmas that will are basically a hindrance to our well-being and and our development.
Exactly.
So that's amazing.
And really focusing on the youth and really, you know, harnessing that power, that
energy. Yes, precisely, precisely.
Wow. So amazing work.
We're very much looking forward to this.
We could go on for hours. I have to say, we're really excited about, you know, our partnership with Global Futures Network. Gather for Good is going to be supporting them in their work moving forward next year. Wholeheartedly, we're behind you 110%. So looking forward to having more conversations like this and actually hearing about the stories and, you know, the things that are happening on the ground in Nepal and in India as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you both for inviting us.
And these two have been running around like crazy here in New York City at the UN. And so we really appreciate them taking
the time to come and speak to us.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
Nepal and Ash, can we call you Ash?
No problem.
So thank you all for tuning in. And please, I will note contact information and how you can kind of participate and support them and all the projects that they're doing. And we will keep you abreast of what's happening on the ground. So we hope to see you soon. Take care.